to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the NXT Podcast. I am your host. My name is Zachary Smith. As always, here with you on time. Look at me go. I don't remember how many weeks in a row now, but it feels good. Feels good to talk about NXT from this week. Was it an eventful show? It was not. Was there some fun stuff there? Absolutely was. I'm excited to talk about it. Before we get started, couple of housekeeping things here. First, you can always find me on Twitter. I'm at ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT. Talking wrestling, other fun stuff over there. In addition to this show, I am also the host of a show called Random Wrestling. Now you can find that podcast anywhere you find this one. What's Random Wrestling? I heard you ask, because I can hear what you say too. It's fun. That's a show where I randomly select a WWE pay-per-view and pay-per-view year to talk about. Now, we've already talked about Hell in a Cell 2019. That's The Fiend and Seth Rollins. That one was fun. We talked about Capital Punishment 2011. That's R-Truth versus John Cena. That was an okay match that turned bad after with the stuff with R-Truth. I don't know if you're noticing a trend yet, but see if you do at the end here. The third one is ECW's December to Dismember. Now, there's a few things you need to know about that show. One, a lot of people say it's the worst show that WWE has ever put out. Now, listen, could there be a worse one? Certainly there could. If there is, I don't know what it is. That's the first thing you need to know. The second thing you need to know is the dang least that you could do is go over and listen to that. Because if I had to watch that godforsaken show for your entertainment, somebody better listen to it. Otherwise, whatever in the hell was the point of me suffering? I suffered for you. I suffered for you. It was a fun show. We talk about the main event and just kind of the whole general bad show. Really fun episode. So I suggest you go over there and listen to that when you're done with this one. Now here on the NXT review, we have a segment called News. That's a carefully curated list of intensely researched topics, and it's not me typing WWE into Google, clicking the news tab, and just kind of working off what's there. That'd be not super professional, right? That'd be lazy, people might say. And that's, you know, that's not me. Diligent, hard worker. Don't know if you noticed, put the podcast out on time like multiple weeks in a row. Hard worker. But like, if you were gonna do something like that, there'd be a lot of John Cena news. A lot of John Cena news, because he's coming back at some point. Supposed to be returning to television soon. My understanding is that he's gonna be an opponent for Roman Reigns and the Universal title around SummerSlam time. Now, we've had John Cena and Roman Reigns before. That was No Mercy. Is that 2017, 2018? One of those years, I think. That was during the John Cena period of all the build-up for my matches is going to be people saying I'm a part-timer and not a very good wrestler, and I'm going to always talk second, and I'm going to say I built this place, and blah, 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 blah. And everybody got really excited about that one promo they had where John Cena basically said, it's called a promo, big dog. You're going to have to learn how to cut one. You're not very good, blah, 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 blah. Everybody was really, really excited about that promo. I thought it was obtuse and kind of look down your nose at somebody. I also thought that, like, that's one of those promos. Roddy Piper told a story once where he was fighting somebody in the territories, and he basically cut a promo on how old and decrepit his opponent was. And backstage, his opponent said, "Well, if I'm an old, washed-up nobody, what the hell does that make you if you beat me?" So John Cena had a bunch of feuds like this where it was like he would win eventually, and then it didn't matter because he spent the entire promo time talking about how the opponent is not on his level. And then if you beat somebody like that, well, then that just kind of reaffirms that statement. And as much as part-timer is like a bad word around WWE, it's not always a bad thing. But the problem is that, like, after a pay-per-view on Sunday, John Cena goes back to Hollywood. And all the power to him, he should. I'm glad he's being very successful in that industry. But the wrestler he beat has to come back to Raw or SmackDown on that Monday or Friday. So, like, nothing good came of it afterward. So that was, like, a bad feud. They thought that having Roman Reigns beat John Cena at No Mercy would fix all the damage that they continued with the promos, and what do you know, it didn't. So it would be very exciting to see this version of Roman Reigns fight this version of John Cena, because we have Roman Reigns as a bad guy. He's much more comfortable in that role. We also have Paul Heyman, who I imagine Paul Heyman and John Cena would have fun doing promos together. That'd be a lot of fun. And then obviously, Roman would win. That's a big name for him to beat. I said a while ago, when you have somebody like Roman Reigns, the thing is, you have to keep feeding him. And you have to keep feeding him credible people. He basically retired Daniel Bryan from WWE. Let's have him take out John Cena. He's beaten Kevin Owens. He's beaten The Fiend, Braun Strowman. He's beaten all kinds of people. So that is great. I think that's how you should use John Cena. John Cena's not the center of your universe anymore. And that's fine. So I'm excited to see that build up. I think it's going to be a lot different. Excited to see that match. I got to think of a real careful way to talk about the part of the news that is all over it, which is per TMZ, WWE star Matt Riddle's accuser drops sexual assault lawsuit. All right. So I'm not gonna recount the story that the victim gave here, because it's horrible. And I feel as though it's important to remember, being as careful as I can, that sometimes these kind of matters are dropped either because they are forced to be, or there's a settlement. And I would just like to point out that just because somebody either settles out of court or drops something does not mean nothing happened. I feel like a lot of people are going to be quote tweeting this story saying, she was lying the whole time. And one, that lets people off the hook way too easy. Two, it makes it harder for future victims to come forward. Now, if this were a completely made-up story, then that's kind of one thing. Obviously shouldn't do that, but something tells me that most of the time when people bring this stuff up, it's not just a made-up story. So I think it's probably just important to remember that the accusations were dropped before the highest profile match of Matt Riddle's career, when he's teaming with Randy Orton and getting more time on Raw than he ever has, and is now on the main roster with Vince, who's no stranger to these kinds of allegations, we'll call them. And I just feel it's super important for us to not jump right to, it was dropped. Because something tells me we're somewhere between this was a droppable thing and Matt Riddle's a saint. So, like, if you enjoy Matt Riddle as a wrestler, that's perfectly fine. We don't know what happened. We're never going to know what happened. I would encourage you to go look up the story, because, boy, she paints a very specific picture. And that's just an important thing to remember. But listen, we're not here to litigate Matt Riddle and his weird career. We're here to talk about NXT. It's a fun show. Listen, important show. Not really. No. Fun show. Yeah. We start with the Then Now Forever video intro. That song changed again. They changed that thing a lot, huh? It's like every... I know I mention it every episode, but you should know I mention it every episode because they change it every episode. And I just feel like that's important. It feels like you should just kind of pick one and stick with it, because I get them in my head and I'm expecting one thing, and then it's a different thing. It just seems like you're using a lot of instrument time on just that little part that changes like every week or 2 weeks. Recap of the Great American Bash that was last week. MSK defeating Ciampa and Thatcher, retaining their tag team titles. Weird choice. Can only assume MSK is going to hold them until Ciampa and Thatcher beat them for it, because Ciampa and Thatcher are a much more interesting team. MSK had a too much too soon thing winning those tag titles, which I don't know that they were slated to immediately, but were kind of forced into. And that's not their fault. They just haven't had a lot of time for us to get to know them. And when that happens, we don't care about them as much. And when that happens, we're not necessarily super happy for their success. They're just dudes out here doing stuff. LA Knight beats Cameron Grimes. That's your million-dollar champion, LA Knight, who now has a new butler in Cameron Grimes. That's going to be a fun story. Cameron Grimes has already kind of turned to a good guy when he came to DiBiase's aid a few weeks ago. Eventually, he'll have enough of LA Knight, and there's really no repercussions if he quits. It's not like, if you stop being my butler, you're not employed anymore. It's like a you have to be my butler thing. So we're going to see some vignettes of that tonight, but eventually Cameron Grimes is going to get fed up with it. Turn on LA Knight, so on so forth. Point here, LA Knight, fantastic. Did not think they were going to do anything with him on NXT. Thought they were just going to keep doing the same thing that wasn't working. And I forgot it was NXT, not the main roster. They found a story that worked perfectly. Super excited for LA Knight going forward. Tegan Nox returns to attack Candice LeRae. Candice LeRae in storyline is the one that injured Tegan Nox. In reality, Tegan Nox, I think it was in a match, I don't remember, tore her ACL for the third time in, what is it, 3 or 4 years, I think? I want to say one of them was when she was like a teenager, and then she had one in the women's tournament years ago, and then she had this one. Tegan Nox is cool. Tegan Nox seems like she'd be super fun to hang out with and like talk about Captain Marvel with. She seems really cool. I've seen her on a lot of interview shows or like The Bump, stuff like that. I hope that she doesn't get injured again, because I feel like if she's had, I think, one ACL tear on each leg and then one more on the other leg, if you get another one, it feels like wrestling isn't a thing you're going to be able to continue to do. Like, at a certain point, even if you're like a genetic freak, that many injuries will turn you into a kind of shell of yourself. And if it happens again, I hope that she has another gig in WWE. Like, I hope that if that were to happen, she has like a... she can do something else. Because she's very... I think she could be very valuable to the company, even if it's not as a wrestler. And I think right now the odds are better than not that it's going to happen again. But for now, she's back. Io Shirai and the real star Zoe Stark win the women's tag titles. It's important at this point to remind you that it's great Io Shirai is still around. Love that. Presumably, when the WWE draft happens in August, they're going to take NXT talent, because I think they have to at this point. And it would be weird to not take Io Shirai, because she's the best woman on the roster. So you would think this is going to be kind of a short-term thing. Also important to note that they really see something in Zoe Stark. And I hate to keep doing the same spiel I do, but this is nothing against Zoe Stark, the person, or like the professional. I don't see it, man. The only great thing about Zoe Stark thus far that I have seen or heard is how great they keep telling me she either is or is going to be. And listen, putting somebody next to Io Shirai, that's certainly going to help. But like, we could also have her win matches, would probably be good. You'd only have her valiantly fight against another woman and lose so many times before You're like a high profile enhancement talent. Also, important to note, as this is the NXT Women's Tag Titles, it's important for me to remind you that these are a consolation prize created by in-storyline William Regal, because Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez got screwed over in a match with Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. And instead of getting a rematch, they created new titles, which is a lot like your friends won't let you play a game, so you go off by yourself and create a new game, but it's a bad game, but you don't want to admit it's a bad game because you're hurt. It's a lot like that. Adam Cole beats Kyle O'Reilly. I don't know why this doesn't feel important or big. I don't know if it's crowds or what it is, but it doesn't. They're going to have a third match. I don't especially care. They wrestled that first match, the unsanctioned one, as if it were their only match. I don't know where you go from here. Maybe steel cage match, something like that. Tonight, we're going to have Gargano challenging Karrion Kross for the NXT title. The special guest referee is Samoa Joe. Ember Moon is out first. Her tag team partner's not here anymore. Shotzi Blackheart's now on SmackDown. I forget if she debuted with Tegan Knox. I feel like that's what happened. So that tag team's just over, I guess. It's weird to call up Shotzi and maybe Tegan, but like not take Ember Moon or Toni Storm or Io Shirai. I mean, you're saving them for the draft. I get it, but it's weird that they just appeared. But okay, sure. Dakota Kai is out next. I bet she's going to lose, huh? Her buddy Raquel Gonzalez is with her. It's easy to forget that she's the NXT Women's Champion, even though she's always wearing the title, because she's still the diesel to Dakota Kai, Shawn Michaels in their dynamic. And it's weird to have the bodyguard already be the champion, because now they're just the bodyguard with hardware around. And Dakota Kai never seems interested in the title, and Raquel never seems disinterested in Dakota. And so we just keep doing this, and eventually something's going to happen, surely. But it feels like we're waiting too long. So I was wrong. Dakota Kai wins. She hits the go to kick. I forgot her finisher was called that. That is a bad name. It's a bad name. CM Punk used the go to sleep. It's the same move, except you fall on your back and kick the person in the head. And so do you get it? Instead of go to sleep, it's go to kick. It's very funny. It's clever. The announcers remind you to never count out Dakota Kai. That's so very nice of them to say that. Lights go out for a second. Xia Li is on the entrance ramp. She looks mad, but she always looks mad, so I guess this could just be normal for her. I don't know. They do that thing again that Io Shirai did, where a woman walks into the ring and Dakota Kai steps up to them, I guess thinking that they're there to challenge her, and then in the ultimate, you are much less important move, the person ignores Dakota Kai to walk up to Raquel Gonzalez. Now listen, I understand that's because she's the NXT Women's Champion. I got that. But it is very funny to just watch women just walk by Dakota Kai, and then Dakota Kai just kind of stands there looking more hurt than mad, really. So Xia challenges Raquel for the women's title. Raquel accepts. So that match will happen at some point. That would be a fun match. I think Raquel would still win, but that would be fun. So I don't know if that's going to be like a next week thing or if it's going to be a takeover thing, but we'll see. Vignette, video of LA Knight at home. He's very excited that he has a butler, he says to his friend on the phone. Cameron Grimes rings the bell, tells his friend that he's late, goes to the front door. Cameron Grimes is kind of mad, but says his word is his bond, so he's here to clean first. He has to get a haircut and a makeover. I'm almost certain they did not actually give him a haircut. Seems like they, like, put his beard down a little bit and pulled his hair back. They showed clips of somebody faking cutting his hair, and then they just pulled it back. I don't know if that was on purpose. I think it was. It's very funny that they spent time on this, and then his hair looks the same, just pulled back. Cameron Grimes is now in a white and black kind of butler suit. LA Knight calls him a penguin. He does look exactly like a penguin. Good call. Cut to the back. Samoa Joe walks into Karrion Kross's, I guess, locker room. Karrion Kross is boxing a heavy bag. Samoa Joe's going over rules and says, "Do you understand?" Karrion Kross keeps punching the bag. Then Samoa Joe kicks it and gets in his face. They should probably just have a match at this point. We cut to the ring, and it's the end of Santos Escobar's entrance as Dexter Lumis is already in the ring. I will not lie to you because I respect you too much. I forgot Dexter Lumis was still in NXT. Boy, he sure was an interesting character that went nowhere, huh? That he was super interesting when he debuted, and I understand he's not everybody's cup of tea. Got that. Fair enough. But it does seem like there's some middle ground in between, oh man, he's super interesting, what a character, and oh yeah, Dexter Lumis is on this brand too. Feels like there's a middle point. Through like a mediocre match and then a good bit of distraction, Dexter Lumis loses. I mean, sometimes you need like a no-story match, I guess, and in fact it was, because it was just a setup, because Hit Row comes out, they're talking trash to Legado del Fantasma. I don't know if this is just a Santos Escobar challenging for the North American title thing, or if it's a Legado gets a woman in their stable and then we have like a four-on-four situation. Either way would be fine. But they get in each other's faces. We go off to commercial from that. Coming back, we have Kyle O'Reilly in a sit-down interview with Wade Barrett talking about his loss. Every time I see Wade Barrett, I'm reminded that he should have been used better when he was in WWE. Like, Nexus lost to John Cena over and over, and then Wade Barrett went nowhere. And it really feels like he could have, and they just didn't want him to, and that always makes me upset, but I'm glad he's back. Kyle O'Reilly says losing is just part of what we do. He said, but looking at the footage, I struggle to recognize who that guy was. He thinks he might need to make some changes and wake up the Kyle O'Reilly who beat Adam Cole. He said, I'm either going to fight him again on the sidewalk or in the ring. He says he's not going to beat Adam Cole. He's going to finish Adam Cole. Hate the part where he said losing is just part of what we do. That's part of the reason people dislike John Cena so much, because he would lose matches and then for all intents and purposes say it's no big deal. He turned it around at the end, but it's just not ideal. And then Adam Cole's going to talk later, and his is going to be better because Adam Cole's a much better talker. And it feels like we should find a way around that, but we're not gonna. That might be some of why this doesn't feel as big. Cameron Grimes is told he needs to walk behind LA Knight as he is his butler. That seems proper. LA Knight asks him to mow his gigantic lawn. Grimes says he'll have this mowed in no time with the giant mower that LA Knight has, but he says he's not going to give him the keys to that. He has to do it with what is essentially a push mower. Cameron Grimes is happy about literally everything that's happening. LA Knight's really mad about that. That's funny. Didn't see that coming. During the commercial break, we're shown that Dexter Lumis is on the ring apron, hurt, and Indy Hartwell comes up, picks up Dexter Lumis, starts to walk him to the back before they fall, and Indy's kind of like on top of Lumis. This is still weird, and I hate it. It's a creepy story. It's bad. It's a bad message. It's not interesting. It's bad. They're about to kiss, and then Candice LeRae comes out and kind of pushes Indy off and brings her into the back because she is a good friend, and she gets booed, and she shouldn't have, because that's what a friend should do. So we're going to continue this story. And boy, I just wish we wouldn't, you know? I forgot, but we have Duke Hudson coming out for the first match in this NXT breakout tournament. Duke Hudson's a big English dude. He had a good vignette earlier. He's like 6'5", 270. So Vince McMahon is going to love him. He seems interesting. Seems like he would be a good promo. I'm not sure. He has a cool theme song, so we're checking boxes. This is how we're doing it. To this point, I noted that I cannot tell how old Duke Hudson is. I believe when I looked it up, he's actually 32. I would have believed anywhere from like 28 to 50. It's weird. That doesn't happen a lot, but he's 32. He looks like he could be younger or much older. Ika Majiro is his opponent. He's a smaller dude. He wrestles in wrestling gear and a jacket, like a blazer, suit jacket, and he seems very happy all the time. He also has a good kind of poppy theme song. It fits what his character is very well. Seems like it would be hard to wrestle in a jacket or a blazer and very uncomfortable. Like, it'd be hard to get a full range of movement there. Also, again, very uncomfortable. Like, I've worn a suit jacket before, and it seems like if that were on your skin, especially while you were, like, sweating, would just be a nightmare, but here he is. obvious to point out, but Duke Hudson's a really big dude. Jiro was trained by Tajiri and the Great Muta, so naturally he does the tarantula to Duke Hudson during the match. Good homage paid there. Listen, I'm going to get off the jacket in a second, but that is a really cool jacket. I wish that I had that jacket, not to wrestle in, but just in life. It's a cool jacket. That's the last thing I'm going to say about the jacket. Duke wins with a... you know what? I couldn't think of the name of the move when I was writing it down. It's the black hole slam that Abyss used to do in TNA. That's what it is, where the guy runs at you, and you kind of catch him chest to chest and spin and slam him down. Boom, black hole slam. I knew I'd get it. These two dudes are good. Duke Hudson could be a star if they use him right. I actually think Jiro could be as well. I think Duke Hudson is more what NXT, or rather WWE, looks for in a traditional main eventer. And by traditional, I mean big white dudes who speak English to their liking. I think Jiro could be really, really good. I have no historical or optimistic inclination that they will do anything with Jiro that's not hard to watch. But again, if he was used right, be great. We get a recap again for some reason to remind you that Io Shirai and Zoe Stark are the NXT Women's Tag Champions. Nothing comes of that. That nothing happens after. They just really, guys, it's really important you remember that Zoe Stark is a tag team champ. It's really important you remember that. We go from that to Samoa Joe going into Gargano's locker room. He gives the same speech he gave to Cross. The Way offers him a shirt. Said he'd look great in a muscle shirt. Haha, get it? He's fat. It's funny. He walks away. As he walks away, he comes face to face with Pete Dunne again. They don't say anything. He just shrugs. At this point, they have to just think that it's funny that they keep running into each other. And it is. I don't know if Samoa Joe is going to be like a full-time performer, or if we're going to do this gimmick of he's the enforcer that only fights when provoked. If that's the case, obviously Karrion Kross is first. Would love to see him against Pete Dunne. That'd be really fun. So Cameron Knight is mad at Grimes because Grimes is now sitting at his pool drinking his lemonade. Grimes apparently hired a kid to do his work for him because he's a millionaire too and he knows how to delegate. That makes sense. LA Knight throws the kid out, refuses to pay him, and then Knight is tripped and falls into the pool. Physical comedy. So this is a story that's just going to continue. I didn't see them doing the Cameron Grimes actually is very into being a butler thing, but that's pretty funny. We cut to Adam Cole from there, making his entrance. Says, it feels good to say I told you, so I told the world I was better than O'Reilly, and at the Great American Bash, I proved it. I proved again that I'm the best superstar in the history of this brand. Now, real quick, he is better than Kyle O'Reilly. He's a much better promo. He's probably not much better in the ring, but he's more consistently excellent, I guess, because he's been put in those positions more. Again, we should really stop having them do, like, promos on the same show, because it's really taken away from O'Reilly. He's not the best superstar in the history of NXT, but he's up there, probably. Like, Finn Balor's in there. Who else is in there? Shinsuke Nakamura and Samoa Joe, for a time, were. Kevin Owens was really good. He wasn't there very long. Neville was really good for a time. Bo Dallas was good. I'm not sure. It feels like Finn Balor's still the best with the second run, but he's really close. He said, in fact, O'Reilly's first victory doesn't count because it was an unsanctioned match. Bad guy's making good points. He says, Kyle, if I were you, I would reconsider that rematch because we both know I'll embarrass you again. It's important to note, Adam Cole's getting cheered through this because Adam Cole's a great promo and is turning himself unintentionally into a good guy. So, says he wants to talk about Samoa Joe now. He's mad that Samoa Joe choked him out and left him the other week in Kyle O'Reilly's knee lock. Also, again, fair enough, I'd be upset too. Basically said he's a security guard in a suit. So I guess we're setting up a bunch of potential matches for Samoa Joe. By the end of the show, very obviously Karrion Kross is one of them. Pete Dunne would be the other. Maybe Johnny Gargano would be another. Adam Cole would be another. I'd like to see all those matches, please. I would like him to stay the enforcer. That's a really fun role. But like maybe he keeps getting attacked and then they have matches. That would be fantastic. Then you're not having him be a full-time wrestler, less of a chance he gets hurt. And just a generally really fun way to use one of the best promos in WWE, if not wrestling. For some reason, Bronson Reed's here, man. I don't know why. It's because Adam Cole said nobody in that locker room is man enough to face him. Bronson Reed's here. He's just doing nothing for me. He says, you're a master of manipulating those with something to lose, but I lost the North American title. I don't have anything to lose. Unintentionally poignant statement from Bronson Reed. He said, right now, all eyes are on me. He says, people are wondering what my next move is. Oh, I wasn't. People consider you NXT's golden boy. I consider you my golden opportunity. Do you get it? It's wordplay. Our writers are very clever. Cole goes for a super kick. Bronson Reed catches it, knocks Cole out of the ring. Samoa Joe's out in his ref gear. It's funny to see him with his theme song with ref gear walking out. Takes a second to stare at Adam Cole, then walks in the ring. Didn't realize that was because the main event was now, because then Gargano makes his entrance, then Karrion Kross. Now here's the thing. Karrion Kross has already been on main event. He's going to go to the main roster at some point. When's he lose the title? He's been brought on to main event, I assume, to see how he works in the quote-unquote WWE style. And like with a stripped down entrance, no Scarlett. So they're like preparing to have him on the main roster. So like now it's interesting because all his title matches are heightened because at some point soon, whether it is now or August, which is when the rumored WWE draft is going to be, and there's no way they're not taking talent from NXT. They have to. They need something. Now, on the main roster, what we don't need to do is like make a better TV show. What we need is to keep the same bad writers, and more importantly, like Bruce Pritchard and Vince McMahon making decisions, but we need them to make bad decisions about new people, because that is how you fix problems. So whenever he comes up and is inevitably not as good as he should have been, he's going to go to Raw or SmackDown, bless his heart. Fans immediately chanting for Johnny Wrestling, and a much, much smaller group chanting for Cross. Joe raises the title before the bell can ring. Johnny hits Cross. Only like 12 minutes left in the show. That's not enough time for a good championship match. Johnny once said that he needs like at least 20 minutes to get into the groove of a match or something like that. He doesn't like wrestling less than 20 or 30 minute matches. So yeah, 12 minutes will probably be fine. They're outside the ring. Joe would very much like them to get back in said ring. Joe's also counting real slow and having a lot of trouble keeping his earpiece in his ear. These are the hard-hitting details you come to this podcast for. Cross drops Johnny right on the edge of the announce table. That has to be the worst part of the announce table to hit, right? A little more back and forth than I thought this match would be, which is actually a great thing. Cross needs these kind of matches. We've seen him destroy people enough. Now have good wrestling matches. Cross has the choke locked in. Johnny gets to the ropes, but Karrion Kross will not break the hold. Then Samoa Joe shoves him off. They go face to face. Cross is outside the ring beating up Johnny. He gives the Samoa Joe the up yours gesture with both your arms kind of thing, which is a rude thing to do, especially to a sanctioned official. You shouldn't do those kind of things. You should be nicer. Cross is going to use the steel steps. Joe pulls them out of his hands. They get in each other's face again. I wish there were crowds here, because without crowds freaking out every time that happens, all I can think is, feels like we're doing the face-to-face thing like too many times in one TV show. But crowds would be going insane for this, and I wish they were here. Cross hits the club to the back of the head, then three power bombs, then a back suplex. Don't know why he didn't pin him after that. But then he looks at Joe, smiles, hits one more club to the back of the head. Joe counts to three, and Cross laughs in his face. Important note, Joe looks at the title for just a second before handing it over to Cross. Reminiscent of when him and Finn Balor won the Dusty Classic and Joe couldn't keep his eyes off the title. I just looked for that with Samoa Joe because he's a genius and looked at it for just a second longer than he needed to. They're face-to-face again. I'd like to just see this match, please. Didn't think we were doing it already because Joe goes to leave and Cross puts the choke on him. Joe fights for a second, but then he's choked out. So now Joe has been provoked and is probably going to kill Karrion Kross next week. That should be fun. You know what else is fun? This podcast. I had a lot of fun talking about NXT this week. I'm excited to see Samoa Joe, especially next week. You can catch me here to talk about next week's show. Same time, same channel. Again, also, you can find me over on Random Wrestling, anywhere you find this podcast. What probably terrible show am I going to have to talk about next? I don't know, man, but come enjoy me suffer through it, I guess. Again, check out December to Dismember. If I had to go through it, we have to go through it. And check me out on Twitter at ZachNXT, at ZachNXT. In the meantime, that's it for NXT. That's it for me. I've been Zachary Smith. You have been fantastic. Thank you for listening.